Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yes, that line forms on the right,
babe.
Not that Maggie.
But up, but.
Back in town. Look out, old Maggie is back.
Yeah.
Chris McMichael. Sports Radio.
Two on the fan. McMonagle here with you. I got you for 3 hours as per usual. Up until 5 a.m. in the warm-up show. Fleegs on the other side. 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. And these two baseball teams. Well, let's just start here. And let me make this as clear as possible. Both teams obviously struggling. The New York Mets have now lost their fourth consecutive game to the Atlanta Braves. They have lost 9 out of their last 10. They are, without question, playing their worst baseball that we have seen in a year. The New York Yankees, after taking 2 of 3 from the Baltimore Orioles, turn right around and play a lackluster, uninspired game in Cincinnati. But what I don't want to hear and what I don't want to like start with, and I don't even think it's worth a debate, is to complain about the pitching. And to complain about, specifically with the Mets, because the Yankees have pitched fairly well, and they were throwing out someone today that, you know, is a 29-year-old rookie from AAA who throws 92-mile-an-hour fastballs. And he wasn't even all that bad. I don't want to hear about the pitching. I don't want to hear about the Mets pitching lab. I don't want to hear about, oh, Blackburn. Oh, they got to figure out something. Oh, Montas tomorrow. Oh, this, oh, that. Oh, this rotation's got a 6 ERA over the last, you know, however many games. I don't care. There is one reason why both of these teams are losing these games. There is one reason why both of these teams right now, congruently, are in the biggest funks they have been in all season long. And why it's impossible to watch them, and why we're all furious, and why I'm screaming at 2:04 in the morning. It's because their offenses stink, particularly with runners in scoring position. And that was certainly the bane of the Yankees' existence last night. The Mets really only had 3 innings with runners on, as they were completely shut down again by Schwellenbach, who they've seen now twice in a week. They just saw this guy. And there was no evidence of any sort of idea that they picked up anything on the dude other than Juan Soto coming through with a 2-run home run to get them back into the game. But this isn't about the idea that the rotation is struggling. Yes, it is with the New York Mets. There's no doubt. It is. It's not been as good. Griffin Canning has not been as good. Paul Blackburn, you know. What does he do in this game? Go four innings, 4 1/3? Gives up 3 runs, 4 2/3, gives up 3 runs. That's what you expect from your 5th, 6th, 7th starter. That's who Paul Blackburn is. I know we talk about the pitching lab, but it's been an amazing year, but they're not going to consistently produce miracles on a nightly basis. I was talking about this with Fleegs. I think the Met fan and anybody who's talking about this rotation has been so spoiled by what this rotation has done for the last year that you look at this and go, well, they got to figure out something with the pitching. This has nothing to do with the pitching. This is what starting pitching looks like in Major League Baseball when you throw Griffin Canning, when you throw Paul Blackburn. We'll see what Montas gives you later today. Like, the back end of your rotation isn't very good. It's at best a serviceable bunch of pitchers who hopefully can keep you in games by, I don't know, giving up 3 runs in 4 2/3 innings. That's what you get from Paul Blackburn. You sign for it, you check the box, and you say thank you. Hopefully we won't have to see you in 5 days, but if we do, give us this same mediocre crap, and our offense should be good enough to win us the baseball game, especially against the starting pitcher they just saw last week. And this, I mean, listen, and I know the moment of Juan Soto, and it was, I don't know about you guys, because I'm watching it on, I have the Yankees on the cable box, I have the Mets on, you know, the streaming, and I don't know if it was the same with you, but I'm literally watching Anthony Volpe. It's not quite the same, because the Yankees were down many more runs, but I'm watching Anthony Volpe with first and second, 2 outs, and it feels like that's the game if they don't come through with a hit there, at least extend the inning in the eighth, and I'm watching Juan Soto in the eighth inning, first and third, with the opportunity to get the game under control, take the lead, or tie it at the very minimum. And I'm watching it at the same time. And I couldn't, and I'll tell you the truth, I couldn't have more of as a Yankee fan thinking, Volpe has no chance, and you know Juan Soto's going to come through in this moment. And unfortunately for the Met fan, he does not. And I know it sucks, and it's clearly the moment of the game. And it's what we'll remember, and I'm sure there's many a Yankee fan, like, you know, John and Maspeth and everybody else, who's really excited that you know, Juan Soto struck out in that moment. Juan Soto is carrying this offense at the moment. I remember doing the show on Saturday talking about it's time for Juan Soto to step up and carry this offense, and he's been hotter, and he's been performing better, and he's turning his season back into a typical Juan Soto season after a lackluster first 2 months, but you still don't feel the impact of Juan Soto carrying the team. You still don't feel like he has made the impact that clearly Lindor made earlier in the year, that clearly Alonso made earlier in the year. And unfortunately for Juan Soto, a lot of it is that he's turned his opportunity here this last month, where he's carried the team, where the entire rest of the offense has gone dormant, including the entire back end. They get nothing. If they do not get hits from the first 4 batters in this lineup, they do not get hits. That's plain and simple. They are carried by the top of this lineup. Right now, the bottom half of this Met lineup is atrocious. It is light-hitting outfielders, followed by light-hitting catchers, followed by DHs who don't belong in the major leagues. I don't know why Young continues to hit when Marte is on the bench. I've given you the numbers. We've talked about it. Marte, you know, in the last month or so is hitting 300. There is no reason why Young is still getting at-bats. I don't care, righty-lefty. I don't care. I know he hit a home run the other night in Philadelphia. He has been awful. There is no reason why Sterling Marte should not be getting more at-bats. But you've got Jeff McNeil, who, other than the hot series in Colorado, I got to be honest with you, hasn't done all that much. I know people love Tyrone Taylor because of what Tyrone Taylor, I'm getting confused with the quarterback. I know they love Taylor because of his defense in center field. But he's a light-hitting fourth outfielder who shouldn't be, who, you know, for a good team, shouldn't be playing every day. You've got every kid, let's be honest, too, this goes with both the Yankees, and we're going to kind of like go back and forth in this open with both baseball teams. But, I mean, everybody who's come up is struggling. You're going Volpe right now is going to be a major talking point when we do get fully into the Yankees. And obviously Dominguez struggles in this game as well, had an opportunity to drive and run in from third base and is unable to do it. And the Mets are literally sending down everybody. Both of these teams right now are struggling offensively, and their youth has done nothing for them. Not a one, as we wait with bated breath every day for Mark Vientos to come back for the New York Mets. And it feels like that's it. Like, you are waiting for until the trade deadline, which isn't happening until the end of July. The only thing this Met team has right now is the hope that Vientos can come in and provide some kind of pop. Other than that, I mean, think of it. Anthony Volpe is having the worst stretch imaginable. He was awful in the game last night. I know he had the 3 hits the other day on Saturday in the home run, but he was 0 for 25 before that. He's now 3 for his last, you know, 29. Dominguez isn't doing much. And Alvarez, who was the top prospect in all of baseball, had to be sent down. They just sent down Acuna. He's got an under 600 OPS. I know he doesn't play all that much, and I know the Mets kind of, you know, he's filled a roster spot as opposed to being a prospect worthy of coming up. He hasn't had a lot of time in AAA, but he's been ineffective and relegated to pretty much, you know, defensive replacement and pinch running duty. He's been sent down. Mauricio looks completely overwhelmed. Beatty has had one stretch of a two-week stretch where he's performed well. Otherwise, he's done nothing. I know he had two hits last night. And Alvarez, obviously, as I mentioned, has been god-awful this season and has been sent down to the minors to figure it out. They don't have any answers for this offense. And not only is it the back end of the offense, but right now Pete Alonso is in a horrid slump. In his last 10 games, in which the Mets are 1-9, he's got two extra base hits, one RBI, and 16 strikeouts. And he looked awful in last night's game. And more than that, he's looked awful every time he's played the Braves.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
And they are completely shut down yet again, staring at another incredible pitching advantage tomorrow as, you know, Strider, who shut them down a week ago, is going to go up against Frankie Montas, making his first start of the year, coming off the shoulder strain, with a resume here as a New York Met of just absolutely an incredibly bad rehab assignment, where he got hit around and barely got an out. Right now, the Mets are in the middle of it. The Yankees are in the middle of it. And clearly, it is twofold for me. One, the young kids. That's the one staring us in the face right now. Every single one of these Mets have failed. Every single one. You have, and failed is strong because the test isn't over necessarily. But right now, you've got to be disappointed in every single young Met, including Vientos, who you're hoping comes back and can provide some kind of pop and turn back into the player he was last year. And Anthony Volpe and Dominguez and Wells have all struggled so far at times this year. And right now are not helping the Yankees. And the bane of both of their existence has been runners in scoring position. The New York Mets, with runners in scoring position all year long, have hit .214. That is the 29th worst batting average in all of baseball with runners in scoring position. 29th. Only the Chicago White Sox are worse. Did you hear what I just said? The Colorado Rockies do a better job with runners in scoring position than the New York Mets do. The Rockies! And over the last 13 games, they're hitting .173 in their last 13 games. .173 with runners in scoring position. That's how you lose ball games. I was just having an argument on Twitter about someone yelling about the Yankees. And he's like, it's the same thing that hampered the Yankees every single time. It's always runners hitting with runners in scoring position. Whenever they're losing, it's because they don't hit with runners in scoring position. Well, yeah, that's how it works. If they were hitting with runners in scoring position, they probably wouldn't be losing. But that has been the Met, and the difference is, it has been an issue for the Mets all year. And the pitching staff and the pitching lab have been shielding us from it. And they've been going out winning, building up the best record in all of baseball at one point, while covering up for their lack of hitting with runners in scoring position by hot streaks by Alonso, hot streaks by Lindor, and a pitching staff that hardly gave up a run. And now that you're seeing the first cracks in the pitching staff, we're starting, some people are starting to blame the pitching staff instead of pointing out, no, it's not the pitching staff's fault. At some point, they were going to crack. At some point, they were going to come back to reality. The problem is the same thing that's been there since day one for the New York Mets, inability to come through with runners in scoring position, plain and simple. They've been terrible at it all year. This game, they don't really have it. They only have three innings with runners on. And you can't get on, you know, listen, again, that's the signature moment of the game, the strikeout of Juan Soto in the eighth inning. But he's also the only reason you're in the game with a two-run home run opposite field. Like, that's it. That's all the offense of the entire game. That's it. And if you go back two games now, it's two home runs. It's Lindor with a meaningless home run at the end of the game Sunday night, and then the two-run home run from Soto. That's it over the last two games. That's it. That's the offense. This offense has been brutal all year in big spots, and it is killing them yet again. And now they have no answers. They've got weak hitters at center field. They got weak hitters at catcher. They got everyone who, you know, third base has been a disaster with, you know, Vientos getting off to a miserable start. Beatty, Mauricio, Acuna, Alvarez, Beatty, like none of these young kids have helped them at all. And the Yankees have been no different. The only difference is it has not been an issue for the New York Yankees all season long. That's the only difference. The New York Yankees in April / .260 with an on-base percentage of .342 and an OPS. Let's just give you OPS. .260 batting average and a .785 OPS. That was the fourth best in Major League Baseball. They were the fourth best team in April with runners in scoring position. In May, they hit .248 with a .792 OPS, and that OPS was the second best in Major League Baseball. So for the first 2 months of the season, the New York Yankees were the fourth best team in Major League Baseball with runners in scoring position, and they were the second best team with runners in scoring position. In June, they have a .723 OPS, which is 17th in Major League Baseball. That is why these two teams are losing. That's why. We could talk about my first call, Mets need starting pitching. Okay. Sure, everyone does. But they are losing because these offenses stink at the moment. Just stink. And the New York Yankees last night's game had every opportunity, every single opportunity to break this game open early. Judge hits the long home run, gives them a 1-0 lead, and then in consecutive innings, they got more bloop doubles in this game from Bellinger multiple times. He leads off the third with a double. Can't do anything with it. Can't move him over. I'm sorry, that's not true. Judge hits a long fly ball to center, and then Stanton and Chisholm, Stanton strikes out. He killed him in this game, striking out. Then in the fifth, they get a leadoff single. Then they get the bloop single from Bellinger, first and third. First and second, rather. Judge hits the fly ball, Stanton K's. They had every single opportunity. They're 0 for 11 with runners in scoring position in this game. 0 for 11. These offenses have got to get their act together. And right now you look at it, and the two things that jump out at you, one for the New York Mets, Pete Alonso is absolutely struggling. Lindor is absolutely struggling. The bottom of the lineup isn't good enough without enough major league hitters. They need to stop hitting young and putting him in the lineup. Against the Braves in particular, Pete Alonso and Jeff McNeil are atrocious. And every single young kid has, failed is not the word because they're going to have more opportunities, but right now aren't good enough and don't inspire any real confidence in their ability. Alvarez sent down. Acuna sent down. Mauricio looking overmatched. And you're waiting for Vientos to come back after a great year last year, struggled so far early before getting injured. Like, nothing has helped. There has been no impact in this lineup. from anybody. And the same thing with the New York Yankees right now after a decent start. Anthony Volpe is absolutely killing them right now. And we have to have more conversations about Anthony Volpe. And we have to have conversations about this team with runners in scoring position. But Anthony Volpe is killing them right now. Wells pretty much isn't doing anything. Dominguez isn't doing anything because right now Dominguez is in a tricky spot. The problem with Dominguez is with the addition of Stanton and he's only a good left-handed hitter and they have Rice and Grisham. So it feels like Dominguez plays every third day against a right-handed pitcher, and because he's a switch hitter and can give them an extra bat against left-handed pitching, he plays against left-handed pitching. But he's not good as a right-handed hitter. And I talked about this yesterday about the possibility of could the Yankees be open to trading Jason Dominguez. I don't think it's crazy. But right now, their youth isn't helping. The bottom of their lineup is struggling. And mainly, they are just not very good right now with runners in scoring position, and they're not very good getting the run in from third base. They are not playing good situational hitting baseball. And Anthony Volpe is absolutely killing them. And they have Carlos Rodon on the mound later today against their pitching phenom. Chase Burns is making his major league debut, a kid who throws 99 miles an hour, is putting up incredible numbers in the minor leagues, a pitcher that the Cincinnati Reds are very excited about, a young rookie. There was a time, early this year, they actually beat up on some rookies, but there was a time in the not too far distant recent past here that first time pitchers against the Yankees have dominated. And right now, the Yankees, who lost a half a game on the idle Tampa Bay Rays, are now two games up. And the offense, despite winning the series against the Baltimore Orioles, despite scoring a bunch of runs on Saturday, it's still not right. And they are still struggling with runners in scoring position. Last night was atrocious. And they are still in the midst, despite winning three of four heading into today, and now, three of five over their last five. They have been awful for now a two-week stretch offensively. And the deadline, I was listening, BT was talking on the promo. I heard a promo as I was driving in, and not to get on BT, but just the idea of, there is no making moves now. You have to wait to the end of July. It's not a choice. It's not like, oh, man, what is Cashman waiting for? He's got to go out and make moves now. I don't understand. What is Stearns doing? Teams don't know if they're buying or selling. There's nobody out there right now looking to make a deal. Even the teams that are looking to make a deal are waiting for other teams to decide whether they're buyers or not and to see what the market is for the players they want to sell. There is no making moves. You have a month, and it's the players in the room, it's the players on the team that have to do it. 888-808-1019. We'll get into the offenses here. We'll talk. First two calls, want to talk about Mets pitching. Perfect. Let's get into it. You crazies. It's not about the pitching. It's about the offense for both of these teams.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
All right. 229. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Now look, it is, and this isn't coming from just a Yankee fan. It's ugly with the Yankees. There's no doubt about it. Very difficult loss. But they did just take a series from Baltimore. It's the first game of a three-game set against the Reds. It's an ugly game. You lead off that home run, you have multiple opportunities, and you can't figure out a way to get anything across. Too many strikeouts, they have 11 strikeouts in this game. An ugly loss to Cincinnati. And just more of the same, despite the fact that, again, they won the last game of the Angel series, and then they won two out of three. So it was three out of four games that they had won heading into yesterday. Frustrating, disappointing, no doubt. But the Mets right now playing the Braves. I mean, you can't be beat like this against, you know, a Brave team that it's owned you for forever. You're watching Acuna. Why they still throw him first pitch fastballs or anything near the plate, I have no idea. But Acuna, you know, starts off the game with a single. More bad base running from the Braves. I'll even spare you the whole if Aaron Boone was the manager of the Atlanta Braves bit. I'll save that for another night. But you got a little bit lucky there. He ends up getting the home run from you. Like, it's just to watch this Brave team continually beat you like this. Now that's four in a row. Their pitchers just continue to shut you down. Alonso has been awful in the games against the Atlanta Braves. Awful. I still don't think it's panic time. They're a game and a half. They're two games in the loss column now behind Philadelphia. The pitching is starting to regress, no doubt. You're still waiting for Senga to come back. You're waiting for who's apparently feeling good, feeling great with the hamstring. They're hoping that it shouldn't be too long after the All-Star break, maybe the start of August at the latest. You've got Manaea coming back. We'll see what Montas can give you. It's not crazy to think Montas could just be a serviceable pitcher. Hell, they've turned everybody else into a serviceable pitcher. I understand he's had a terrible run of it in his rehab starts, but there's no reason to think, I don't think he's very good. I wouldn't expect ace-like pitching, but could he give you what a typical fourth or fifth starter gives you for the rest of the season? It's not out of the question. And you got Vientos coming back, and you'll have the trade deadline where clearly now, I think it's clear, they need to add offense. They need another bat, maybe two. I would look to upgrade an infield position. I would look to upgrade, obviously, center field offensively. Like you have room for two bats on this team. And everybody looks for bullpen help this time of year, so you could add there too. The rotation, you could see them looking to get, but one, I don't know what's available. Two, you know, everybody's looking for it. And is David Stearns the type of guy who's going to trade prospects, like significant prospects, for a starting pitcher with this team? I don't know. And you know the Yankees aren't going to. Right now, their starting pitching has been really good. That's the last thing they need, amazingly enough. You got Luis Hill coming back. And right now, you feel pretty good about Fried, Rodon, Clark Schmidt. When's the last time Clark Schmidt gave up a run? Clark Schmidt right now is pitching to the most quiet 2.7 ERA you've ever heard. We don't even talk about the dude. He's got a 2.7 ERA. And you've got Luis Hill coming back. And, you know, they need another infield bat, but their focus is going to be in the bullpen to really try and bolster that back end of the bullpen. But it's not panic mode for either of these two teams. It is an incredibly tough stretch. 9 out of 10 and 4 straight against the Braves for the Mets. And the Yankees, if they win the next two games, you don't get hung up on last night. That's how it works. But they've got a pitching phenom, Chase Burns, coming up to make his major league debut against them today with Carlos Rodon on the mound. They win the next two, you feel better about today, and you've won back-to-back series. The Mets right now have three more against the Braves, and bare minimum you have to win one, but you're looking to at least take two and split this series at Citi Field. So where they've had they've had the best home field advantage in the sport. Before that sweep at Tampa Bay, I mean, you couldn't come into Citi Field and get wins. And now they got swept by Tampa, and this first game against the Braves, shut down again, completely shut down. Terrible at bats. Alonso looks lost. McNeil gives you bad at bats. Lindor is clearly going through it. All you've got is Juan Soto. I know he strikes out in that moment, but it's all you got. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls, though. Mike in Ramtown. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Miggity Mac. How you doing, brother?
What's going on, buddy? How are you?
Hey, I'm hanging in. So, yes, we will need an injection of starting pitching, but we're going to go to the offense, and we're going to go with the runners in scoring position, which, as you have stated, has been trouble all year.
All year.
Okay.
Only the Chicago White Sox have a worse batting average with runners in scoring position. Only the White Sox.
Yeah, the team that broke the 62 Mets record for most losses.
And they're worse than the team that might. Yeah, and they're worse than the, and they're actually worse than the team that might break that record again this year.
I'm laughing because I don't know what else to do.
Yeah, it's amazing how bad they've been with runners in scoring
position. So you can do at this point. However, when you're saying Pete is killing them, they wouldn't be here.
Of course.
If Pete didn't get off to that hot start. So obviously he's going to regress, just like you mentioned, and that was the perfect word with the starting pitching. But I'm not blaming Alonso for anything. We wouldn't even be here if he wasn't so hot to start with.
I granted, but that doesn't. How long does that buy you? I mean, I'm just saying, like, he's still got to perform. He's got to perform now. Like, they need him now. He's not. They're nine. They've lost 9 out of 10. I'm not killing him.
So does Zimmo. So does Lindor. So does Soto. So does Alvarez.
Soto is right now.
Soto is. Yeah.
And Beatty isn't very good. Let's just be honest. Beatty, I like him. I think he's got a sweet swing. I was rooting for him. The entire offseason was I think Beatty should be the starting third baseman. Starting second baseman rather instead of Acuna at the start of the year. That's what I wanted. I wanted to give him a chance. He's just not getting it done. I know he got 2 hits last night. I'm not blaming him necessarily. It's just a matter of where they are. And all of the young kids, like, let's be honest. I know we kill the Yankees and we certainly can. None of them have been successful outside of
that leads me into my next point. Besides Judge and besides Alonso, since the mid-90s, name me a homegrown Met or Yankee, besides Judge or Alonso, who they've turned into an all-star. You can't.
That's not,
besides Judge and Alonso.
No, I can name
besides
you.
Besides Judge and Alonso, you can't.
I can name you a bunch. Just all-star, that
being hitters? Hitters? Yes. Position players?
Yeah, I can give you three off the top of my head.
Okay, then do it.
Robinson Cano, Gary Sanchez, Gleyber Torres.
Gleyber Torres. Really? You're going to lean on Gleyber?
I'm not. You asked for a question. I'm answering it. I'm not leaning on anything. You asked me a question.
Okay, that's solid. But Yankees fans couldn't wait to get rid of Gleyber.
I'm not disputing. I was one of them who was ready to move on from him. He's having a good year in Detroit.
And now he's out of the spotlight.
But he was a two-time All-Star. Gary Sanchez, two-time All-Star. And Robinson Cano is a Hall of Fame talent. He'll never get there because of the steroid suspension. But he was a Hall of Fame talent. Yes.
Correct, yes. Now,
And Nimmo should have been an All-Star last year for the Mets. He wasn't.
He should have been. He should have been there last year. Yeah.
And Jeff McNeil won a batting title. I think he was an All-Star that year, so that's Jeff McNeil.
No. And he has. Now we're taking, like, one-offs. This year. I'm talking about a career.
Yeah.
A career.
Yeah, I get it, but you make it sound like that's easy. Go ahead, give it, like, you know, go.
No, it's not easy.
Go do the Phillies. Go do the Phillies. How many homegrown Phillies have, you know, consistently had All-Star? I mean, you know, Chase. I mean, how many different teams? I mean, I get it. They had Howard. They had Utley, Rollins, right during that stretch there. But, you know, I mean, like, it's not easy to just have constant All-Stars. That homegrown All-Stars. Okay. The Dodgers right now don't have home. It's all like who their big three, who their big players. Smith is there, the one guy that's kind of been developed by them that's homegrown. That's being a part of it for the most part. Like their big guys are Otani, Freeman, Betts, all trade, sign. I'm agreeing with you because I've been talking about this, right? And for the Yankees too. Like, again, I'm not, when you say to me, like, you set the bar too low with the All-Star because I just gave you All-Stars off the top of my head. Like, sustained, like, great players that are still impacting the team. Yeah, both of them. Like, they signed a lot, right? The Mets have McNeil they gave a contract to. Alonso they've given another contract to. Nimmo they've given a contract to. So, I mean, those three guys have been part of the team. They've signed long-term deals after, or, you know, at least signed deals after their free agency had come up. They signed a second contract at the New York Mets. the Yankees had guys who come on, who the frustrating thing about the Yankees is they had guys who came on and took the league by storm. Like, that's what's frustrating about the New York Yankees. Now, Alvarez a little bit did that, but the Yankees from in 2016, Gary Sanchez comes up, hits 20 home runs in 53 games. And he's like, almost, he almost won the Rookie of the Year in 53 games. He completely took the league by storm. He was defending well. He was throwing runners out, and he hit a bunch of home runs. He was the fastest guy to home, I believe, in Major League history. He's one of the fastest guys to 100 home runs. He had 20 in 53 games. And then the next year in 17, he's an all-star. And then the next year in 17, Judge hits 50 home runs. And then in 18, both Andujar and Gleyber Torres are second and third in Rookie of the Year voting. Gleyber Torres becomes a two-time all-star. They had these young kids who came up through their system, made it to the major leagues, became all-stars, and then faded. That's what's unique and weird about the baby bombers and what's so frustrating and why I think the Yankees are in some ways still paying the ramifications of that, because they made decisions based on the idea that they were going to have to pay Gary Sanchez big-time money as the premier power-hitting catcher in the sport. They thought they were going to have to pay Gleyber Torres big-time money. At the end of 2019, after 2019, Gleyber Torres has an incredible year. He hits like 39 home runs. He's their best postseason player. He wins them game one of the ALCS against the Houston Astros. They end up losing the series, obviously, but he wins them game one. He kills the Twins. He had this great year. I'll never forget it. MLB Network has these, you know, the dopey shows of the top 100 players right now, and I don't remember the number, but it was Ron Darling. Ron Darling was one of the guys in studio doing that show, and he talked, and when Gleyber Torres came up, I forget which number it was, but when Gleyber Torres came up, Ron Darling looked into the camera and said, Gleyber Torres is part of the group of the next young superstar players. He's right there with Ronald Acuna, Manny Machado. Like, that was where we had conversations. I remember it. I was working on the CMB show with Chris Carlin, and he was telling me that Gleyber Torres is better than Aaron Judge. Those were the conversations people were having after 2019. And then it faded. Gary Sanchez, same thing. 34, 33 home runs in 2019. All-star, home run derby, 17, home run derby. And then they faded. That's what's frustrating about that group in particular. Guys came up, played well. Greg Bird played well in 2015. And then faded. Andujar got injury, led the team in extra base hits in 2018. Got injured, never the same again. Gleyber Torres. Gary Sanchez. Judge is the only one who sustained. And by the way, I mean, I don't want to make a big deal out of it and arguing this point, because I'm frustrated by some of the young kids. Clearly, Volpe, we have to have a conversation with, and the Mets, all of them are failing right now. But I think you get a little bit more than just one. Like, when you say, name me someone else besides Aaron Judge, like, I get it. You'd like to have more than one. But when the one is the greatest hitter in baseball, and arguably we're having conversations and articles written that he might be the best right-handed hitter of all time, I kind of feel like you get a little bit more than just, well, only one. Yeah, the only one happens to be like Babe Ruth. I mean, you kind of get a little bit of bonus points for that. Joe in the Bronx, what's up, Joe?
Hey, C-Mac, great show as always, man.
Oh, thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
Yeah, see, Mac, I know we're not going to go off on the Mets pitching and how they put it together with the pitching lab and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Hapner, I think, he's a great pitching coach, whatever that means. But why did every other club go out? I mean, we have the richest owner,
yep,
as a Mets fan, and it seems like he went with crumbs. He went with retreads. And they did good. They did great. They kept the Mets up there for the last 2 months or so. But
last
why?
Calendar year.
Yes, absolutely. But why did they not go after some starting pitching? I'm not talking like Corbin Burns. That would have been great. I would have loved it. Corbin Burns is out.
Yeah.
I mean, injury. But
you're answering your own question. That's why.
I get it. Yes.
Pitching.
Yes.
Look, Joe, I was with you. I was critical at the start of the year. Not like killing him necessarily, but I was critical like, hey, at some point, you got to put a little money. Like, it was just, I don't know what Kodai Senga is going to be. He didn't pitch all year. I know he's talented, and he's very capable of what he's doing this year, pitching like an ace. But we just haven't seen him. And this is a year you're looking to win the World Series. I don't know if you can count on Kodai Senga being your ace or even Sean Manaea being your ace off of one good year in the last three. Like, I didn't mind the contract to Manaea, and I think Senga's really good, but I didn't consider them, you know, locks enough. I didn't feel confident that I was going to get that from them enough that you could just go into the season with those are your two best pitchers, or, you know, relying on Peterson, or, like, yeah, Griffin Canning and Paul Blackburn and Frankie Montas. That's the first signing they make. They go out and run to give $17 million a year for the next 2 years to Frankie Montas. I was very confused by that. I mean, I shouldn't even say that, because when he did it, I said, okay, he's going to be as long as he's their fourth or fifth starter, that's fine. Then they make the Clay Holmes move, translating a reliever into a starter. Like, I was very critical. But at the same time, they've done an incredible job with it. An incredible job. And I do understand what he's trying to do. I mean, there's method to the madness. It's clear as day. You invest money in superstar everyday players, and you find a way to build a lineup that should be good enough to carry you and supplement it with a rotation of guys that you believe that either you can find off the scrap heap, is a bit of a strong word, but let's use it because I can't think of anything else right now. But you find guys off the scrap heap that you believe in or you see something in, and you are particularly good at work. Like, the Yankees happen to be good with sinker slider guys out of the bullpen. That is there. If they find a pretty good arm and a guy who throws a decent sinker, has a good sinker slider combination, they could figure out a way to make them pretty accurate, pretty good in the back end of the bullpen. They've been doing that for years. Like, they just have a system. Some organizations are better at other things. The Yankees find sinker slider guys like Clay Holmes and turn them into the best version of themselves. And the Mets right now are good at targeting guys like Griffin Canning, changing a few things and making them the best version of themselves. They happen to be really good at it. So their plan this year, which, again, I was critical of, and obviously now that it's starting to come undone a little bit, I the criticism is starting to come back to make sense. But the plan of this team was to build a lineup with Alonso, and that's why I was so big on signing Alonso. I'm like, you can't give me this rotation and then not do everything you can to bolster the lineup. Like, you've got to have a really good lineup. You can't give me, you know, Beatty and Vientos at the corners and not sign Juan Soto if you're going to give me Griffin Canning and Clay Holmes as your big-time, you know, free agent signings in your rotation. And so, but they signed Alonso. So they got Soto, they got Alonso, they got Lindor, they got Nimmo, they got Vientos coming off of an incredible year. Like, this was supposed to be a team built around the offense and a rotation that they'll make good enough to supplement their offensive team. And they've just happened to be so damn good at it that it's felt like they believe the pitching lab can carry the organization. That's not their intention. It's never been their intention. They've never said, oh, it doesn't matter who you give us, we're going to turn it into the best rotation in baseball. They've just happened to be kind of lucky over the last year and really good at it and have cultivated what has been the best rotation in all of baseball for a calendar year. But that doesn't mean that's the plan. The plan is to score a ton of runs and have just a good enough rotation to make it work. That's the plan. And it scares me for the postseason a little bit because you'd like some dominant starters, but let's be honest. Kodai Senga's pitched like one. David Peterson's pitched like one. And if Sean Manaea comes back and pitches like he did last year, now they've got three. Like, that's the plan. And so that's why, as much as I'm, you know, I don't know, discouraged, a little concerned about this Met rotation, it's not what's on the forefront of my mind because it's already given them more than I could have thought. And we all know Paul Blackburn's Paul Blackburn. The Mets make no misconceptions about trying to sell you on, we're going to turn Paul Blackburn into an ace. They make no misconceptions of trying to tell you they're going to turn Griffin Canning into a top of the rotation guy. They just think they could find something and make them better. And they have, but there's a limit on how much better Griffin Canning is going to be. And we're finding out we've met it. Now it's time for the freaking offense to say, okay, Griff, thank you very much for what you've given us so far, but I'll take it from here. Just go out there every fifth day and give me 5 innings of suitable baseball. That's it. That's all you need from Griffin Canning. That's all you can expect from Griffin Canning and Paul Blackburn and whoever else they're throwing out there. Now, again, at some point, I would invest some money in a starter. I think eventually you have to pick one. I would have picked Corbin Burns. I would have been wrong. I mean, there's no guarantee he hurts himself with the Mets, but I'm assuming that elbow was going to go no matter where he was pitching. I don't think it's anything the Diamondbacks did, but maybe it was just one unlucky pitch that you can't know for sure he was going to throw that same kind of pitch in that same moment and rip his elbow up. I don't know. But right now, he's gone. And that contract is a terrible contract. And pitchers get hurt. So they're doing it in a smart way, but we're going to find out if it's going to be penny smart and dollar foolish, because this team has to perform in the postseason and they have to win a World Series. And we'll see if the rotation's good enough to do that. And right now it's not. You know why? Because the offense that it's supposed to be complementing is not. And that's the issue with the team. Ray in Waterbury. What's up, Ray?
That's great monologue on both New York teams. Tremendous monologue. Great show as usual,
Well,
Chris.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You know, Chris, you're absolutely right. The pitching was supposed to just hold a fort for the hitters.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? There's pitchers that on this team. I mean, first of all, there's people on this team that shouldn't be on it. But, you know, how much confidence did you have in Blackburn tonight? As soon as you knew he's pitching, you said this losing streak's continuing. And you know what? I believe Montas will be okay.
Yeah, he gave up 3 runs. I mean, they lost 3-2. Like that.
Yeah, you can't.
You're going to blame Paul Blackburn for it?
Yeah, but like Mendoza said, these guys put you in the hole right out of the gate. You know. Like he did last week, like you said, when Acuna hit the home run on the first pitch.
Yeah.
Right? The first pitch to the first batter, bing, base hit. And he got lucky. He got bailed out on the bad base running. Otherwise, that's a crooked number.
Yeah.
He doesn't belong on this team. And you know what? Continue another night. Because Montas has been pitching in the rehab starts.
Yeah.
I don't have any confidence.
No,
even if he pitches good, we're going to the bullpen in the fifth inning.
I would think so.
Here we go again.
Yeah, no, listen, the bullpen did a great job last night, whether it was Buteau, Reed Garrett getting back on the horse, Diaz in the end. Like, the bullpen was fine. Look, and if you want to blame Paul Blackburn because he put him in a hole, and yeah, Mendoza did talk about how the at-bats change, but that's on the hitters. I believe from the context of the clip, I think his point isn't that, our starting pitchers can't put us in a hole because the at-bats change. I think he's talking about how once they fall behind, the at-bats change because the hitters are getting out of a good approach because they're chasing runs.
That's why they were so good in those first innings in Philadelphia with runners in scoring position when they weren't trailing yet.
100% right. They weren't trailing yet against Wheeler with bases loaded. Still couldn't come through with a damn hit. This is not about Paul Blackburn. Could you argue that he's not a good enough pitcher to be on a championship-winning rotation? Sure. But he's an extra piece. Again, I'm not saying McGill necessarily is either, but you've got McGill down, you've got Sean Manaea still down, and you got Kodai Senga down. That's 3 pitchers. Paul Blackburn wouldn't be in this rotation. They're injured. It happens. The Yankees threw a pitcher yesterday it doesn't belong in a major league rotation, but he had to be because they're down, still waiting on Luis Gil. They're down. Marcus Stroman's not ready to be back yet. And they just lost Ryan Yarbrough. So you have to do what you have to do. Paul Blackburn is not designed to pitch big games for the Mets, and I don't think he will. But that doesn't change the fact that he gave you 4 2/3 innings and gave up 3 runs. It's not a disaster. That shouldn't be. That's not the reason you lost the game. They scored three runs. You can't score three runs at home? I know you need four to win, but you could force extra innings and the home team has an enormous advantage. You can't figure out a way to get three, four runs at home against the pitcher you saw a week ago? Like, that's the issue. Yeah, and a Braves bullpen that's struggling. They just lost Sale for who knows how long. I'm seeing reports. I just saw reports that he told the whatever podcast, Fair Territory podcast, that he's got a couple of rib breaks, but it's not an entire cage or something. He thinks he'll be back relatively shortly. I don't know. But whatever, that doesn't matter. Right now, while they're playing the Mets, he's obviously not here, and they're probably short on the pen. Like, you've got to figure out a way to score more than two runs. That's why they lost. Same thing with the Yankees. Like, you could even argue, I know they end up, like, the Yankees in the game had two different chances with runners on, runner up third with less than two outs. And Dominguez struck out in one inning, and then Stanton struck out in the other. And then they had other opportunities, too. But I know, hey, well, they scored, the pitching wasn't good, they gave up six runs. Yeah, listen, if they score those three runs, or two runs, and they have a 3-0 lead or a 3-1 lead, maybe they don't go. Maybe they don't go to Hamilton next out of the bullpen because they're not down two runs. A tie game, maybe you bring in a different pitcher. It changes who Boone goes to in the bullpen, tie game or down two runs. It's a significant. Who knows how that game goes if they drive in those two runs? Like, it's not good enough. It's not good enough. And, you know, right now the Yankees are going through it. But the Yankees have been, and this is where I'll push back and why I'm a little less concerned necessarily than I am with the Mets, is that it's been a trend all year for the Mets. I look for trends all year. That's why I'll push back on the bad base running. No doubt right now, the things that hampered them last year are coming back during this poor play. They're not manufacturing runs. They're not hitting with runners in scoring position. They're making mistakes on the base paths. They're not playing good defense. But that's what happens when you lose. Those things happen. All year long, those have not been major issues for the New York Yankees. They just haven't. Into that Boston series, they had, and I still think they do, they have the least amount of outs on the base paths of any team in baseball. The least. Defensively, they're far better this season. And with runners in scoring position, for the first 2 months of the year, in April they were the fourth best team. In May they were the second best team. They're going through it right now. And we'll have to see how it plays out moving forward. They better turn this around. But it hasn't been a trend all year. The issue with the Mets, with what they're going through right now, is it has been. The offense hasn't been good. They're middle of the pack in the National League in runs scored. That's a whole year thing. The Yankees have the most runs scored in the American League, third most behind the Dodgers and the Cubs. Like, it has not been an issue for the entire year with the New York Yankees. It's just they're going through it right now. The Mets, the issue is, as soon as the great part of their team is faltering, it's exposing what's been an issue for them all year long. They are the worst team in baseball, runners in scoring position, second worst, behind the White Sox.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.